JC Corcoran Podcast.
You know, when it comes to technology, improvements never end. That seems to be the natural order of things. But lately, in the field of recording, they may have come up with the last link in the chain of evolution. We've gone from Edison's cylinder to the 78 RPM disc to 33s, 45s, open reel tape to cartridges and cassettes. And now, we're up to the compact audio disc. It's an entire album, but it's as thin as a wafer and much smaller than a 45 single. 4.7 inches to be exact, and no grooves. The digital information on the disc is read by a laser beam. That means if there are any fingerprints and dust on the record, all the laser picks up is the information which is decoded as music, exactly the same as the musician recorded it. The laser disc, which began test marketing recently, has got a lot of people very excited. But don't worry about your LPs becoming obsolete overnight. The players for these compact audio discs are currently selling for close to $1,000. And the discs themselves cost $17 apiece. It'll take a while. But if it lives up to its promise, it could be the ultimate way to listen to music. And that's my report on what may or may not be the wave of the future. The Laser Red Compact Digital Audio Disc.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, January 28, 2022, 285 days remaining in our American system of government as we have known it. You're at jconline.com. Friday is my mop-up day. You know what I do? I take copious amounts of notes throughout the day after I get off the podcast. I used to say get off the air, get off the podcast. And then, you know, I start watching TV and watching news, and I'm taking notes all day about things I want to do on the next day's podcast. And what happens invariably is that the podcast is over, and I still have piles and piles of stuff that I just didn't get to. I wasn't able to get to because of time constraints, even though sometimes we run over. We ran over about 10 minutes earlier this week. So on Friday, what I try to do is mop up and take all of the bits and pieces of stuff that didn't get on throughout the entire week and then throw them at you. But first, let's talk about what's going on in your immediate world. And when I say your, I'm talking about anybody who's planning on traveling to the Northeast this weekend. They are talking about, what do they say here? Snow, one of the biggest snowfalls ever in history that might happen in the Northeast. And we're talking everything from about Washington and Philadelphia up to Portland, Maine, where they're talking about, you know, 2 feet of snow. New York City could get at least a foot. Boston probably going to get closer to 2 feet. Here in St. Louis, things are going to get very interesting Tuesday and especially Wednesday and into Thursday when there is some sort of bizarre mixture of rain, sleet, ice, and then eventually snow. But if you're doing anything around town in the middle of next week, be aware of it because it is, as they say, one of those things that you got to keep an eye on. Way too early to tell who's going to get blasted and how much. But there's definitely something coming in our direction towards the middle of next week. Are you ready for some football? 2 o'clock and 5:30. The Chiefs are 6.5-point favorites over Cincinnati. That sounds about right. And the Rams are favored by 4 over the 49ers. I don't know why, but I have this feeling in my gut that the 49ers are going to pull an upset on the Rams. I don't know why. I just have a feeling. The Olympics begin a week from today. Hockey. That fourth goal by Jordan Kyrou last night was a thing of beauty, wasn't it? And it was payback for Calgary, who really embarrassed the Blues earlier this week on their home ice. There are rumblings, and that's all I'm going to say about it. There are rumblings about Jordan Binnington. Now, apparently Jim Thomas, and is he still writing for the Post-Dispatch or has he moved on? I don't know, but Jim Thomas, very respected reporter in St. Louis for many, many decades, indicating that there are some sort of serious talks going on about unloading him. But then There's also another story that says that there was a team meeting the other night before one of the games, and that Ryan O'Reilly got up and basically said, we got to play better in front of this guy. We're making our pal here, who got us all the way to the Stanley Cup there just a couple of years ago, and we're not playing well in front of him. Let's increase our effort. Let's rededicate ourselves to playing better in front of Mr. Binnington here and see what happens. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm just telling you what I've heard. Sarah Palin is an asshole, and that's about all you can say about it. We've always known that she's a dingbat, and that, at any given time, she might say something that's so fucking stupid that you just want to take the palm of your hand and smash it against your forehead. But when you test positive for COVID and then just go out to a restaurant and just thumb your nose at everybody and say, fuck you, I'll do what I want, that makes you an asshole. This is the anniversary of the space shuttle. That year was 1986. I remember getting off the air that morning on Casey, and as was often the case, I was invited to come down into the program director's office and sit and be berated about something that we said or did on the show. And I was sitting there, and there was a knock on the door, and John Hewlett opened the door and said, hey, apparently the space shuttle just crashed. And that's all we knew at the time. We never knew that it was going to turn out to be as bad as it turned out to be. Perhaps it is fitting that we're looking at a snow, ice, sleet, messy situation in the middle of the next week in St. Louis, because if you go back to 1978, that was day two of me being trapped in a radio station with four or five other people for the blizzard of Fort Wayne, 1978. We knew that heavy snow was coming. We knew there were going to be issues. I used to be on the air from 10 at night until 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, good gig. I was a couple of years out of college, and you take jobs that aren't that great, but it's like anything else. You know, you're trying to get experience. You're trying to get credibility. You're trying to get to, you're building your resume. And so somehow I ended up in Fort Wayne. So we were stuck there for, I think it was 4 days. And on the fourth day, they came to us with snowmobiles and took us out of the place and took everybody to my apartment because mine was closest to the radio station. So they just said, we're taking everybody to your place, and you know, you're all going to be together until you can get out of there. We're doing our part to get you out of the radio station. And then, as I mentioned yesterday, in 1984, I'm working in Buffalo, New York. The guy fires me. I'm standing at the urinal and he fires me. And then I go home with my stuff in a box. And then 31.4 inches of snow fell on me in Tonawanda, New York, just north of Buffalo. That was a fun time. 1994, I got a free trip to Switzerland. The woman I was married to at the time was the assistant vice chancellor at Washington University and used to take these, I guess you would call them junkets of people, these elderly people who had donated tons of money to the university, part of their endowment. And as part of the deal, they're like, if you donate this much, you get a free trip to Switzerland. And it was her job to accompany these people, and I got to tag along. And yes, it was beautiful. And my buddy Daryl Conter, who was one of the producers at Channel 4 at the time and went on to a terrific career at CNN in Atlanta, Daryl was telling me he had been to Switzerland a couple of times, and he was telling me about some of the stuff to expect and what sort of food to get, what sort of food not to get. You know, you go over there and they got some weird stuff over there. You want to like, okay, maybe next time, maybe next trip. In the meantime, just give me the good stuff. Like the raclette cheese, And there used to be that Swiss restaurant directly across from the Galleria. What the hell is that place called? Something Chalet, maybe? So we went and we ate there prior to the trip, thinking that it would prepare us for what we were going to find in Switzerland. It wasn't really very close. But they have this raclette cheese. It's basically if you took... it's like some sort of cheese mixture, and then they melt it, and they put it on a plate, and then they serve it to you with two little baby pickles, and maybe, I think it was like some crackers or something, and you just scoop it up almost the way you eat salsa, or almost like a quesadilla type thing, except it's on a flat plate instead of a bowl. But that was a cool trip. And it was 37 years ago today, the year was 1985, the dozens of music's top stars were told to leave your ego at the door. And Quincy Jones and Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson, everybody got in there along with Springsteen, Stevie Wonder, Sting, Kenny Rogers, Hall & Oates, Tito Jackson, Sheila E., and for some reason, Dan Aykroyd. And they spent all night recording We Are the World. And I don't mean to insult anybody, but the truth of the matter is, unless you're from St. Louis, you don't like Emo's Pizza. You don't like St. Louis-style pizza. You have this thing from, Simone Biles. Simone Biles, the Olympic champion on Jimmy Kimmel.
There's a weird little personal connection we have here. Oh, my wife's from St. Louis, and in St. Louis, there's this pizza called Emo's Pizza. Now, I heard that you love this pizza.
Yes.
Now, I'm wondering why, because it's very, very bad pizza.
No, it's not. First of all, that
Guillermo,
is so
mean bring the
mean
pizza
to...
out here. Bring the pizza out.
Okay, I'll go get
no,
it.
No, no. Will you?
Provel is the best.
Provel is,
yes,
the
is.
World's most disgusting cheese.
No, it's not. We could fight right now.
Now, here's the thing that's... No, please don't. I don't want to get beat up. But here's the thing. We got one from Emo's, and they're very nice people. I want to say, Guillermo, put it right. I want to say these people are very nice people. But like Provel is like to provolone what Velveeta is to cheddar. Oh, that's not a joke. That's just a description.
I don't discriminate against cheese.
I got this from my wife for Valentine's Day one year, and I was like, would you like some? Would you like any?
I'll have after. You know, we have a show tomorrow.
Okay, all right. Well, and I said, and I put it in the oven because they sent it frozen, and I put it in the oven, and I heated it up, and they cut it into, like, little rectangles.
It's perfect.
And I tasted it. And I said, oh, no, I think there's something wrong. And I thought I accidentally melted the plastic onto the cheese. My wife tasted it. She goes, no, that's what it tastes like.
Yeah. It's so good.
Mm.
Okay, score 1 out of 10.
Well, sometimes you get to know the judges.
Yeah.
And they give you a better score. Actually, this one's better than the last one I had. It's almost as good as a supermarket frozen pizza.
It's a perfect 10.
We got to move you to Brooklyn. That's where you need to be.
Okay.
You need to be in Brooklyn so you can have real pizza.
We do have a tour stop there. So if you have any recommendations.
Oh, one. I am going to shower you. There are going to be pizzas stacked up. I'd say higher than you, but that's not that many pizzas.
I know.
There will be a tower of pizzas for you when you arrive.
Okay.
I mentioned that because a new poll on our pizza eating habits has found 94% of Americans have had pizza in the last month. The best way to eat the pizza is not something we agree on, though. Eating it tip first is the most popular, but 18% say crust first is better, 17% folded in half, 14% think sandwiching two slices together is best. I had no idea any of this was going on. And 8% of us prefer using a knife and fork. That's one in every 12 people. Favorite toppings, pepperoni, sausage, onions, least favorites, anchovies, pineapple, and jalapenos. One of the questions I asked Harold Ramis, who was one of the Ghostbusters and a truly gifted director. He was such a cool guy on top of it. But I asked him, I said, you know, in the Ghostbusters thing, when Bill Murray gets slimed, what did you guys use for that, for the special effect? And he laughed really hard at that. And he said it was some sort of a methyl something or other. It's a thickening agent they use primarily in Chinese food preparation. And for years, people have been wondering, what was the stuff that the little girl in The Exorcist shot out in her projectile vomiting thing? And it turns out that the stuff was from a famous California restaurant called Pea Soup Anderson's. Their soup looked a little more like vomit on camera than Campbell's, so that's what they used. And we find out now that originally Marge Simpson's hairstyle was designed that way because the creator, Matt Groening, wanted to hide her rabbit ears. The gag was meant to be revealed in the final episode of the series, but they scrapped that plan long ago because there would have been too many inconsistencies for it to work. It's a cartoon. You can do whatever you want. I was not allowed to have pets when I was a kid. My dad just didn't believe in it. And the maddest I think I ever saw him get is when I brought two cats back from Michigan. I was on a little vacation with my friend Len Kowalski, and his grandmother owned a funeral home, and she was rich. So she had these two houses right on a lake in Dowagiac, Michigan. So used to go over there with him sometimes. Took about 2 hours to get there. And back at that age, you know, you're like 19 years old. You feel like you're in Paris. You feel like you're on the other side of the world. And so we went to this place, and there were these two black and white cats. And I don't know why, what possessed me to do this, but I decided to put them in the car and bring them home. Now, they were intended to be given to my sister, who would then take them away to college. And she had an apartment on campus, so she could have cats. It's not like it was in a dorm or something. But just bringing the cats into the home, I think it's the maddest I ever saw my father get. He just did not believe in having pets. Consequently, the first thing I did when I got out on my own, I think the very first thing I did is I got two cats. And if your cat is a total moron, don't blame the cat. Blame yourself. Blame all of us. A new study found humans are making cats dumber and have been doing that for the past 10,000 years. Researchers measured the brain sizes of domesticated cats and wild cats that still exist in Europe and Africa, and even though their body sizes are similar, the wild cats have bigger brains. Basically, they think domesticated cats haven't had to use their brains as much to do things like hunt and defend themselves. So over the past 10,000 years or so, we've gradually been dumbing them down by keeping them as pets, which also keep them from being attacked by predators. And by the way, who needs the cat to be smart anyhow? Need them to cuddle and to purr and to stare at you like they can't even tolerate your very existence. Speaking of not being able to tolerate your very existence, let's talk about Democrats and Republicans. As you know, I do the countdown every day, 285 days remaining in our American system of government, as we have known it. I have a very bleak, very, very depressing outlook on what lies ahead for this country, and I have lots of reasons for saying that, many of which I've shared with you over these many moons. So last night, I'm watching this guy on CNN who they've been featuring a little bit more often. His name is John Avlon, and he's got, I looked it up last night after he did this thing I'm going to play for you in just a minute, and I looked it up, and this guy has tremendous credentials. He also is married to Margaret Hoover, who is a very, very attractive blonde political commentator who shows up on George Stephanopoulos and Bill Maher and all of the shows. She's on all the time. And she's very, very pretty, and she's smart, and they got a couple of kids and everything. So already I like this guy because I like her. So this guy starts talking, and about maybe a minute into it, I rolled it back as I was like, hey, this guy's saying something really interesting here. I want to roll this back and hear the whole thing from the beginning. And so I did, and I recorded it. And if you're like me, and I pray to God, by the way, that you're not, but if you're like me, with regard to your feeling that good things do not necessarily lie ahead for this country, listen to what he said last night. Again, from CNN last night, reporter's name is John Avlon.
As we've highlighted throughout the week, the need to save our democracy is dire and urgent, but I don't say this to leave you in despair. Keep in mind, there are plenty of things that divide us, yes, but there is so much more that unites us. That is the subject of John Avlon's reality check tonight. He's here to take us through it. John, give us some hope here.
All right, we're going to keep hope alive for you, Jim. Look, despite all the doom and gloom and division that seems to dominate our democracy, today we got some good news. The U.S. economy grew 5.7% last year, despite the drag of the pandemic. Now, that's the fastest since 1984, when Reagan was reelected. Now, typically, political sentiment follows the James Carville rule. You know, it's the economy, stupid. But despite near record growth, we're feeling not so fresh as a nation. A recent NBC News poll found that 72% of Americans think we're headed in the wrong direction. And look, there are plenty of rational reasons for folks to feel frustrated, from the ongoing pandemic to the persistence of the big lie and rising costs from inflation. Yes, we face real challenges, as every generation does. Perfect's never on the menu. But what if I told you that we are not as deeply, evenly, and hopelessly divided as it feels? Because the truth is, we're not a 50-50 nation on many major issues. Instead, there's surprisingly broad agreement on basic facts and values within America. It's just that a loud minority of the population keeps dominating the conversation. Let me explain. The fact we have one political party that, for the most part, refuses to accept a free and fair presidential election is bad for our democracy. No question about it. But even if 69% of folks who voted for Trump believe the big lie, as a recent Washington Post poll shows, that translates to just 29% of the American people as a whole. That's not an evenly divided nation. Instead, it's evidence of an intense minority who have been indoctrinated by hyperpartisan nonsense. So don't let them gaslight you into thinking you're the crazy ones. They're the odd outliers. Likewise, the persistence of the pandemic affects us all, and it is frustrating to see the Omicron variant so contagious. But the vast, vast majority of hospitalizations and deaths are among the unvaccinated. It's a self-inflicted tragedy. But consider this. 75% of the American people have received at least one dose of the vaccine. That's extraordinary. Now, that means that 25% of Americans are still unvaccinated. And according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, they lean 3-1 Republican. Now, it's impossible to say the exact overlap between the 29% of Americans who believe the big lie and the 25% who are still unvaccinated. And these bitter enders do have a negative effect, though, on the overall health of our democracy. We're being held back, held hostage, some might say, by many of their conspiracy theorist beliefs. But there's reason for hope. Because even many of the culture war wedge issues that have dominated debates in the past have seen movement towards majority consensus. Take same-sex marriage. Now, according to the most recent Gallup poll, a record 70% of Americans now believe in equal rights on the issue. That's up from 27% back in 1996. Or marijuana legalization. Gallup shows it's reached a new high with 68% support. And it's worth noting that 72% of Americans oppose completely overturning Roe v. Wade, according to a Marquette poll released just yesterday. No wonder there's a discomfort with majoritarian democracy among some right-wing hyperpartisans. Look, the divisions we're dealing with are real. But the good news is that we are not as deeply divided as you might think. It's just that the right-wing echo chamber is loud and relentless in its dissemination of disinformation. So don't give up hope. Let's confront the challenges we face with the confidence that comes from knowing that our nation's overcome major obstacles before in the effort to form a more perfect union. And we will again if we can see our way past all the screamers to build on the considerable common ground that still exists. And that's your reality check.
So what do you think about that? What do you think? Initially, I thought to myself, wow, so there really is hope. But then it goes back to that last line. If we can be heard above the sound of the screamers. And that's really the whole thing right there. Frankly, that's all he needed to say, because that is the crux of the issue. Because as long as you have people like Tucker Carlson, as long as you have news organizations like OAN, as long as you have morons chanting, "Let's go, Brandon," and as long as you have people like Sarah Palin, you know, just basically saying, yeah, I tested positive and I'm going to dinner at a restaurant in New York. Fuck you. See, as long as you have enough of that stuff, you know, it's like bugs in the middle of the summer going to a very, very bright light at night. You get lots of attention when you're doing that stuff. It's like somebody said on the news yesterday, they've traced about 90% of the disinformation about COVID and masks and vaccines, about 90% of all the crap, the lies that are flying around out there are attributable to 12 people on the internet. 12 people responsible for 90% of all of the lies about COVID and masks and vaccines. But keep your eye on this John Ablon guy, because this is the second commentary I've seen him do now, and the guy really seems sharp. Oh, and by the way, the economy growing at 5.7%, that's near record growth. You got to go back to 1984 when Ronald Reagan was president. And in fact, the economy, the numbers that he had back then, which were similar to what Biden has right now, are what got Reagan reelected in 1984. And yet Biden's got similar numbers and people are ready to run him out of town on a rail. I guess it does depend on your perspective. Oh, and by the way, to put it all in perspective, we are in this country experiencing a 9/11 about every day and a half. So when September 11th rolls around this year, I don't think I'm going to be commemorating it at all anymore. I don't think I'll ever do it again, because why are you going to stand there and mourn the loss of 3,000 Americans as the result of a terrorist attack when we have a 9/11 every day and a half, and it's been like that now for pretty much the last year and a half? And I am in no way denigrating the importance and the significance of the loss of life and just all around importance historically of 9/11. I'm just saying, if you're mourning the loss of all of those human beings on 9/11, then technically we should be doing the exact same thing every single day, because that's how many people we're losing. One of the more underrated movies of the 1980s, She's Having a Baby, with Kevin Bacon, Elizabeth McGovern, and some great character actors. Alec Baldwin was in it too. I was in New York on this date back in 1988 doing and that's where I met John Hughes, by the way. He used to write jokes for Rodney Dangerfield back in the day. 1986, on this date, we were all in the broadcast industry somewhat horrified by the fact that a guy who was a programming consultant for radio stations all over the country, and that was based out of the Central West End, his name is Bob Hattrick. Robert Oxenhandler was his real name, so you can understand why he changed it from Robert Oxenhandler over to Bobby Hattrick. And he was a very gifted programming consultant, but also a little on the smarmy side, very much on the smarmy side, and used to pick up young men on a fairly routine basis. How do I know this? Because after his body was found in his Central West End apartment, they found hundreds of videotapes of him having sex with young boys. Oh, by the way, did I mention that the guy who killed him cut his dick off, adding insult to injury? And oh, by the way, I can just bet you I know where you were on this date 22 years ago.
McNair will work out of the shotgun. McNair drops, throws right side for Dyson. He dives for the end zone. Reaches to the goal line. No, he falls at the one. Time runs out. That's it. The Rams win by a yard.
Yes, yes, we win. That's the game. It's over. It's over. We're world champions.
St. Louis, the gateway to the West, is now the gateway to the best football team in the world. The St. Louis Rams are the world champions.
We did it. We did it. We did it. Adam, baby, I got you. Come on, Stevie. All right, buddy. I got it. What do you think, guys? Huh?
We won the Super Bowl.
We won the Super Bowl, did we not, huh? Did we win the Super Bowl?
We won the Super Bowl.
Did he win the Super Bowl, huh?
Yeah.
Did we win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
The St. Louis Rams and the 63-year-old grandfather, champions of the NFL.
I was in my apartment at Brentwood Forest watching that with my friend Nancy, and I don't think any of us will ever forget where we were and who we were with on that date 22 years ago today. Final score, 23-16. And just in closing, happy 77th birthday to Tom Selleck. I'm not sure what he wants for his birthday, but if those commercials are any indication, it's your grandparents' house. And with that, we say bye-bye for the weekend. Thanks for spreading the word about our podcast every day, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m., absolutely free. If you miss one, we archive them all right here, so you can listen on the weekend, pick up anything you may have missed. As you know, we do politics only when it is unavoidable. And you can email me at jc@jconline.com, Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great weekend. Remember, 49ers upset over the Rams. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.